Welcome to the Spodcasters, the only online sports talk show devoted exclusively to University of Kansas athletics. I'm Kevin Romery, and while most of you might know me as the 6 News Sports Director, in my spare time, I'm a Spodcaster. Each week, you can join me, Journal World Sports Editor Tom Keegan, and show host Andy Samuelson on the Spodcasters at KUSports.com. We offer our creative takes on the latest developments in the KU sports world, plus we offer special guests such as Journal World KU basketball beat writer Gary Bedore, whose insight on the Jayhawk basketball world is unparalleled. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.
Welcome back to the Spodcasters. I'm Andy Sam, your host from KUSports.com, and really today I thought I was going to be the only one in here. Tom Keegan, you're back from your first experience in the top. I'm kind of surprised you made it, frankly. We got Kevin Romer and DJ Wetter. I mean, how was the Pro Bowl, guys?
It was great.
It was awesome,
actually.
Yeah. Trent Green, though, could have played a little better.
I got a good tan.
Romery's a tan man.
No, actually, I'm still really, really white.
And really, for all you spot backers out there, you might just want to listen to me today, because the conversation we just had before we came on the air, 15 minutes about who makes the best pens and what's the best pen to write with. I don't know if you want to hear these guys or not.
No, but then on the other hand, nobody wants to hear 15 minutes of talk about the TAW either.
We do have to talk a lot about Wichita all the time. We do have to make it a fast show tonight because obviously a big game on Valentine's Day. Wichita State and Creighton, so let's get right to it.
We want to get back in time to watch
that. Are we on KUSports.com still?
Is the
Spotscaster still on KUSports.com?
Yeah, well, let's talk about KU. Tough game, pretty ugly game. They get another win. Pretty big win considering a lot of the factors out there, a lot of emotions with Sutton and Gallagher, obviously a really tough place to play. What impressed you about the game last night, Tom?
Well, what impressed me about the Gallagher Iba was how loud it was, because of the way it's built. It's definitely louder than Allen Fieldhouse. My ears felt the pressure. They don't feel the pressure at Allen Fieldhouse. Has nothing to do with the fans actually being louder. It has to do with the way the building is built.
Acoustics.
Yeah, the acoustics. The fans are right on top of you. It's a tough place to play. They're not a good team. They can't make a bucket, but the reason that game was ugly largely is both teams played real good defense, and Oklahoma State is quick and strong, and they played tough defense and took KU out of what it wanted to do until that spurt, and you always know that spurt is coming at some point. And this time it wasn't until 10 minutes were left in the game, and they go on a 16-2 run ball game.
Oftentimes, bad teams make you play bad. I offer last night's Big Monday as Exhibit A, because Oklahoma State made KU look really bad for several minutes. Just the style of play is just, it's hard to watch. You know, KU's been playing so good. The offense has been so fluid. They get good looks. And, you know, Oklahoma State, it does what it does best. It doesn't try to fake you out and be something it isn't. It's a team that can only win if it makes you play horrible. And on the defensive end, this team plays really, really hard. I mean, we were talking last night. I don't know if KU hit a jump shot last night until there was about 13 minutes left in the second half. I was counting, and I was thinking, what is the longest shot KU has hit? And I started thinking about the three-pointers KU had taken, and to OSU's credit, they didn't have any open shots. They couldn't get any off, much less make any.
No, Brandon Rush was shut down. Who was the guy in Brandon Rush?
Marcus Dove.
Yeah, Dove plays great defense, an amazing job, and I haven't heard a conversation last night that Adam Morrison had called Dove one of the best defenders in the nation, one of the toughest guys he'd ever played against. That says a lot about Dove. That
and when being he, said, he left though, the game with a foul, that's the jump shot I think you're talking about. Rush came right back quick.
Rush pops the jump shot.
And Marcus Dove's offensive numbers, in case you're wondering, 36 minutes, 0-for-1 from the field, 2 rebounds and 2 fouls.
But he got his job done for the first 30 minutes. He shut down who had to shut down. I'll say this, 6 field goals in the first half for KU? And they were some of the prettiest buckets I've ever seen. Sure, it was 6 field goals, but I had trouble picking highlights. I was like, I could tell you all six of their buckets in the first half. Because you had Julian, looked like he could have laid it in, but he had to go up and under the other side and do the reverse thing, because it's got to be tough when Julian does it.
You got to make the ESPN top 10, which he did.
All of them really could have been top plays in the second half, and even in that spurt that you talk about, Tom. You know, just some great passing and good ball movement, and this team is just a highlight reel team. They play at a high level, and that being said, they throw a ton of balls.
Are they a little alley-oop happy? Are they alley-oop happy?
Kevin and I talked about this. I think they're a little alley-oop happy. They look for it every time in transition, and just when I get frustrated, as a fan of college basketball and as a fan of the Jayhawks, honestly, I like watching them play. When I start getting frustrated because you have 2 off the backboard, 1 sails over the hoop, then Brandon Rush comes flying in and grabs one off the rafters and throws it down, and you say, never mind, do what you want, have fun. Because, you know what, they're getting the job done, and as long as they have that spurt, maybe it's what works.
You know what's cool watching them is when they get a steal or one of the guards even gets a long rebound, whoever gets it, they just throw it forward and they know that Chalmers or Robinson's going to catch up to it. And they do catch up to it.
Hey,
and
who cares about fundamentals when you can dunk, right?
And that's what they needed to do last night, especially after that first 10 minutes of that game. I found myself yelling at the TV on every rebound, no matter who got it, go, go, just turn, go, get it to a guard and go and get down there and get a basket before Oklahoma State could get down and set up.
Is that because the half-court offense continues to struggle?
Well, I want to give a lot of credit to Oklahoma State because Kansas is not the first team that Oklahoma State has suckered into that kind of a game. Call Billy Gillespie at Texas A&M and his 46 points, which were enough to win that game. But, I mean, it's so easy to get sucked into. And, you know, the other thing, Oklahoma State does so little on offense as far as movement. The Cowboys stand around more than any team that I've ever seen. And when they stand around, it makes it real easy for you on offense to go to the other end and stand around and not get into the flow. And so you kind of get sucked into that same style.
Hey, Keegan, I got a question. It looks like for that guy over there in the shadows, I can't really tell who it is.
What? Is he coming? He's coming through the door.
Look out.
The one. The door. Only. The greatest ultimate authority on KU hoops. None other than the man who's been covering the Jayhawks for the past 20 years and covering it like nobody's business. That would be the one, the only, the great Gary Bedore.
Gary behind the door, Bedore.
Gary, well, first off, how's the Spangles? Did you guys stop there?
Yeah, Spangles was pretty good. It was only moderately delicious, though, I must say.
Oh, Gary, you're getting called out over there, Sandman.
I don't believe it. And frankly, I'm appalled that you're going to bring this on.
Brahms, while you were down there?
We were in El Dorado today and had a really good lunch somewhere. Do you remember the name?
Freddy's.
Freddy's, the original owner, had his picture on the wall, and we respect that man.
All right, well, thanks for ruining our potential sponsor in Spangles. Renee Stevens, if you're still out there listening, call me. We'll do some business. But Gary, was that a pretty pumped-up atmosphere with all the stuff going on with Sutton last night?
Yeah, it was pretty pumped up. Their crowd hates the officials more than anybody in the league. There were two fans that had signs about how bad the refs were. And if you bring that to a game before the refs even start the game, you know that that's all that's on their mind. They think they get jobbed on every call. Ugly atmosphere with the officials. But the loudest it got is when they asked the fans to cheer. The scoreboard had the meter. I don't know if you looked up and saw that. It's a meter where a decibel meter. They went nuts and they took it into the next possession. But they had to ask the fans to cheer loud, and they did.
Speaking of referees, Gary, the unsung hero of the win last night for KU was none other than the assistant coach, Joe Dooley, who, when Bill Self was losing it and wanted to go at the referee to get closer to him to yell at him, Dooley stepped in front of him and basically started walking toward the bench and left Self with no choice but to retreat. Dooley, cool-headed, saved Self what I believe could have been a technical, and had at that point, who knows what would have happened. I still think KU had a run in them, and they would have gone ahead and win. But
and Romilly, is there a cooler coach on the bench than Joe Dooley?
History would say that that's the man of reason. I totally agree.
Against Nevada, he didn't exactly keep his cool.
So what you're saying is, learn from your mistakes and pass them along to others. I think that's the lesson to be learned here today,
no,
children.
I think the best guy to keep a head coach from losing his cool to the point of getting a technical is a guy who loses his cool and knows what it's like and has probably got a lot of technicals when he was at Eastern Carolina.
And had they played Nevada last night with that finish, he probably would have been upset. Did you see that?
Physique is
tipping at the buzzer. At the
zero, we were having wings after the game. We saw that. That was wild.
Where might you have been doing that?
What was the name of that place?
Buffalo Joe's, I hope?
No, it was their Buffalo Wild Wings.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So you go to the top, you get Spangles, but you go to Stillwater and you don't go to Eskimo Joe's?
I'm not
a
young
folk. It was midnight. It was midnight.
That's for the young folk.
Nick Krug pulled in there, our photographer, and so we went there.
Remind me not to travel with you
guys.
Gary,
I can't even talk to you anymore.
Unbelievable.
I can't go to those places. I'm liable to run into my children.
I guess Eskimo Joe's wasn't even crowded, according to the other
guys. I'm sure it wasn't. They lost last night. You know, places in Lawrence, they're not real crowded after KU loses. So, see, it had been a good night last night, mostly KU people.
Keegan, how about Chalmers? He looked pretty off last night, coming off those two games. He was the player of the week, not the rookie of the week. Only the second time in Big 12 action that's happened. Do you think that he just had a bad game, or what was going through his head?
Well, it's the second time that a freshman has gotten both rookie of the week and player of the week in the same season. I think that's the stat. But, you know, he was due for a bad game. You can't be good every night. And Russell Robinson and Mario Chalmers, the starting guards, combined for 4 for 19 shooting. Russell Robinson was 1 for 8, but, man, does this guy know how to make them count. The one shot he hit was the biggest shot of the night.
Only 3-pointer of the game for KU.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't say he had a bad game. He had a bad shooting game, but he also, Russell Robinson, had 5 steals, 16 steals for KU. They just keep that stat every game. It's like unbelievable.
And he officially only had the 2 turnovers, which is amazing on a night where KU threw the ball away every other possession. I mean, 20 turnovers. Russell handles the ball, I don't know, what percentage of the time you'd say? 50, 60% of the time?
I wouldn't say it's that high.
Like 40% maybe?
Maybe.
I mean, so you would think he would have 40% of the turnovers, but right. Obviously not the case in this situation.
He was steady. And there are for them to force, 24 turnovers from Oak State, although the guard.
Can you find a point guard on that team?
Man.
Woo. Can you find a point guard on that team?
They were throwing the ball into the stands. I know it's easier to throw it into the stands with the fans right on top of you, but give me a break.
Yeah, Byron Eaton. How about his line last night? This guy was a McDonald's All-American, all right? 11 minutes, 0 for 3, 1 for 2 from the free throw line. He had 2 fouls, and then check out the turnovers. Oh, he had what? He had 3 turnovers. Wow, it seemed like more. Maybe his turnovers are like Julian Wright's assists. You just remember them because they're so bad.
Yeah.
On the flip side, Julian's assists are so good, you always remember them.
And you tend to remember Julian's turnovers as yeah. Well. And last night, there were 3 assists all within like a minute and a half at the end of that 16-2 run.
And they were fantastic.
Fantastic. And 4 turnovers. Danny Manning even looked impressed with Julian's passing, and Danny was a phenomenal passer himself. You guys are too young to remember Danny Manning, though.
Somebody was saying Byron Eaton has put on a ton of weight since the McDonald's game. He needs to go on a crash diet now.
Maybe. He looked
maybe
big.
He should eat at Subway.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of, what was it, Mateen Cleaves? Was
yeah.
He kind of a round guy that run up and down the court?
He looks like a football player, Eaton.
And than he can't shoot. His shot is awful. At least yes. It was last night.
They don't have very good shooters.
Well, Keegan, I'm not DJ Wetters, so I'm going to have to take offense with that, calling me out like that. Actually, Chalmers is just the second freshman to win Player of the Week honors in the Big 12.
Is that right?
Drew Lavender, OU in 2003 was the other one.
See, I thought that they were the only ones to win both Rookie of the Year and Big 12. Well, but
if you can find me that stat for next podcast, or we can call it.
You know, you're probably right, though, because if you're good enough to win a Big 12 Player of the Week, chances are one of those other weeks you would have won Rookie of the Week.
It's true.
Let's hope he has a better basketball career for his life than Drew Lavender, and I think
where is Drew Lavender, by the way?
I think he already has.
Where'd he go? I don't even know where he transferred to.
He's on the bench, the Chicago Bulls.
That we can
they'll
confirm is false.
They'll take him.
I don't know.
In the bad game department last night for KU, and he was so bad in such a short amount of time that he only played 5 minutes, was Darnell Jackson.
He looked intimidated for the first time I've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe because he's from Oklahoma, or he was just out of sorts last night. Wasn't his night. He's been real consistent, though, so hopefully this is just a blip on the screen instead of the beginning of a small slump. I mean, it was weird. He was not cutting when he was supposed to be cutting, got taken out and yelled at for that. And C.J. Giles, he was active. He's getting more active, but he missed a dunk. He's not making his shots. He's...
Then he got the offensive goaltending or offensive interference.
How do you have offensive interference?
If you can't throw it down, don't hang on the rim, right?
He blocked his own dunk.
A lot of missed chippies, though, last night. Weren't there a lot of weird ones that should have been dunked that they laid in instead?
That's the Oklahoma State effect. They're usually on you so tight that when you finally get an open look, you expect somebody to be right there, and you kind of hurry it and just flip it up there instead of going in strong and just doing the normal thing. It's the Oklahoma State effect.
Hey, Keegan, being a connoisseur of college basketball like you are, have you ever seen a worse first half?
Oh, sure. I've seen worse first halves. Alabama-Birmingham against fill-in-the-blank. St. Louis. I mean, you know, they make you play super ugly. And that's a team that scares me. If KU were to face them in the tournament, sure, you'd think KU could win. But that's the sort of team that I think might be able to give them some trouble. I'll tell you a team that if KU plays them in the tournament, I like KU's chances, and that's UConn. UConn's big men don't shoot free throws that well, and they are very good, KU, at hammering guys before they can get a good shot off underneath. So they would make UConn beat them at the free throw line. I don't know if they could do that.
Yeah, after the last night's Villanova win, I'm going to go ahead and pencil them into my Final Four. Romery was giving me some crap about that. I know, we always look like a hot team there.
I mean, Andy always goes out on a limb.
Right.
I mean, he goes with, you know, the
thanks
hot
for
team,
that pick.
Hot team ranked in the top five. You know, Andy Sam is going out on a limb.
I'm
going
to back that up with putting Duke week. In the Final Four. How about that one?
You're crazy.
Huh? Duke and Villanova. Crazy. Uh-oh.
Man. All right, give me UConn and Memphis to round it up.
Oh, you four. All of us, really.
Hey, I'll shut the show down right now.
He's in control.
You're the only one with the technical expertise to keep the show on the air. Now, let's just play a little fantasy land and get way ahead of ourselves here.
That's what we do. We're spodcasters.
Yeah, let's suppose that KU wins out. They win at Texas, and they win the Big 12 tournament. Now, what kind of seed would you think they'd be, Kevin Romery?
Two.
Absolutely agree.
And that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen for this team, in my opinion. If you're a KU fan, you don't want the Jayhawks to have a two seed. All of a sudden, they're too hyped up. They come in as a 4-5-6. That is perfect. They can still make a run, still be under the radar. I think losing at Texas may be good for this team to kind of get them refocused.
I don't know about that. I think they're impervious to any of that kind of stuff. As they showed when the rankings came out, they still turn it on when they had to turn it on last night.
And the great Charles Woodling had a great point that it just seems like KU's going to play their game. They're not going to – they don't really care if they lose. He was talking to you and Gary earlier today, and he had a pretty good point that they're just going to go out there and whatever happens, happens. I mean, obviously they want to win, but it's like, yeah, they're in Gallagher Island, but they don't really care.
Well, how do you guys explain this team's composure on the road? That's the most miraculous thing to me of the entire season.
Pillow fights.
Outside of the pillow fights, I'm still confused by it. I mean, this team just – you mentioned last night one of the craziest atmospheres that KU could ever walk into.
Are they just too young
big
and dumb?
Big deal. Maybe.
But you guys have covered the NCAA 64 tournament for how long combined? Probably a pretty long time, Kevin and Tom.
He longer.
That's a whole different section of the season and a whole different set of pressures, is it not? I mean, going on the road and winning the Big 12, big step for a young team. But going on the road to a neutral site area that's a party and winning in the round of 16, that's a completely different thing, isn't it? I mean, that's an issue where a two seed gets really dangerous, doesn't it?
I don't think the two seed gets dangerous because of that. What the two seed would do for you, obviously, is give you a 15 seed in the first round, and then in the second round you would get a 7 seed if the 7 seed won. So I like the idea of a two seed. But now let's say here's what I think is going to happen more likely. And it'll be anywhere from winning out, but the more likely scenario is they'll lose two more
six
games.
6-2 would be my prediction.
Yeah.
I'd say they two lose to games. Texas and then lose probably the second round of the Big 12 tournament.
Which would probably be Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So let's say they do that.
It's 23-8.
23-8. You're talking about probably
no, 24
three
eight,
or four
right?
seed then.
I was going to say a 4 or a 5.
Because the
probably
Big 12's
a 4.
Down.
And I think you got to do that, you've got to finish second outright in the Big 12 and get to the Big 12 tournament semifinals.
Right, and which would not be a bad scenario to get to the Big 12 semifinals because you get that extra day of rest. You don't have to play that
coaches
third day.
Coaches have complained for a long time that if you make it to that Sunday, then you got to play at least 3 games in a row. You play against the toughest team in your conference, and then you may get the shaft and get the early Thursday game in the NCAA tournament. You really don't get any days to practice. You get home from Dallas late Sunday. Monday, you're making travel arrangements. Maybe you practice, and if you're on Thursday, you got to leave Tuesday to get to your site for the Thursday game and the Wednesday practice at the site. So you really don't get to practice again.
And that's a good point. And the site that I think they would probably go to, don't you, is Dallas, because that's not sold out yet. And if KU gets in there, it's sold out immediately. Now, maybe by then it'll be sold out.
Well, Texas will be there too, and that'll probably take care of a lot of tickets once Texas gets in there.
That's true.
That and if Texas
take care of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, and if not, then, you know, maybe Oklahoma. If Oklahoma, though, goes through the season, this is the problem. If Oklahoma would win the Big 12 tournament, even if it finished third behind KU, then I think Texas and Oklahoma would go to Dallas. And then KU would get left out going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Because you can only send two of those teams there.
Somewhere like Dayton or Detroit, Auburn
somewhere
Hills,
beautiful.
Michigan.
Yeah, beautiful. Birmingham.
San Diego, don't they have a regional?
Yes, they do.
That's where they must go. That's the great, best city in the country.
Hey, Stillwater felt like San Diego yesterday. It's beautiful.
65 degrees.
Hey, Gary, we were talking. What's the difference, though, in composure-wise from the team that had all that experience going down there 2 years ago and getting blown out to last night? I mean, when they, you know, before they hit that three-pointer, O-State fans were pretty into it.
Well, Oklahoma State had a team who could score that year, too, but they're young and dumb, like they say, and they don't know better. They don't care. They go out on the road and have fun. And Oklahoma State didn't score. You know, 2 years ago they just blew them out of the water.
Tony Allen.
They've had great teams under Sutton. This year is the bad one, but that's why they blew them out a couple years ago.
Yeah, but we've seen even bad teams like Missouri. Their crowd got them pretty pumped up. Was there just too much going on with Sutton last night?
I don't think the Sutton thing didn't seep into the game at all because they were loud from the get-go, and you didn't see a whole lot of Sutton signs or anything. You saw a couple of Pro Eddie signs, which was nice. But I don't think I didn't feel like – did you feel like it's tucked in there at all, Gary?
No, I agree with you. There was a little bit of a guy on his guitar had a picture of Eddie, one of the band members, but – KU's just got a good team right now. They're probably the second or third best team in the league, and to Self's credit, they take care of the road wins because that Quinn Snyder, his biggest downfall at Missouri is they were horrific on the road, even when they had good talent. Self, like Roy, can win on the road, and that's a blessing because, you know, you always take the best shot when you're KU, and to be able to win on the road like they do, they could have lost that game last night, but they had the great run out of nowhere, bam, game over. Fans were leaving, students were chanting, game's not over, like they do here when a few fans leave. But Self, winning on the road is big, and it shouldn't be taken lightly.
Hey, Gary, what do you make of that Sutton situation? You know, he's 6 wins shy of 800, a goal he obviously wants to hit.
He needs to retire. His health is terrible, and that's the most important thing everybody always says in life. I can't see it getting better drastically. He's got a terrible back. Bad hip, I guess. He's 69. He's 6 wins away from the coveted mark. Big deal.
Big deal is right. It's not like he's the first one to do it. And the other thing is, 794, unbelievable. Yeah, you don't have to apologize for anything. If it's 800, is that going to be better? No, it's not. Right now, the difference between 794 and 800 is not anywhere near as important as this guy who's got some health problems to address. And let's see what the blood tests reveal as well. He was swerving in 4 lanes of traffic. It was not a pretty 911 calls. They were printed. It's not a pretty thing for him right now. Who cares about 800 wins?
Yeah, let's be honest. He's really, really lucky that the lady that was in that other car, as I understand it was a woman,
right.
Walked away from that thing.
Yes.
This could be an absolute disaster. And in 6 to 8 weeks, if this blood test comes back and shows numerous things in his system, if this is the regular guy, this is you and me, we're probably not just getting the free ride that he has gotten so far after this wreck, just being very honest.
Right.
I wouldn't worry about basketball too much if I was him. I would try to take care of whatever is going to need to be taken care of with this other family because this is not going to be the last thing from this other family that he ran into. And then he needs to take care of himself. And, I mean, like I said, I hate to be a pessimist here, but if this is the regular average Joe, he's probably in a lot more trouble. And I want to say, I think Mike Riggs' old station down there got in touch and did an interview with this lady, and her response was, I don't care who it is. If it was anybody else, they'd be in jail, and that's where he belongs. Something similar to that.
Wow.
And said that he should get in trouble just like anybody else would because of what he did in that situation. Now, with that being said, it may come back fine. He had nothing in his system, and it may have just been some sort of failing health issue, which is obviously completely the opposite situation. But you get the impression that that is not what this was, or that would have come out a little bit, and just what you said. His accomplishments, they're not going to be enhanced by 6 more wins or anything. And just make sure he's okay, make sure the family that was on the other side of this thing is okay, and try to make this as simple as possible.
You know, the interesting thing, they printed the 911 calls in the Daily Oklahoman. And the first caller was a fan. It was a woman who was obviously a big Eddie Sutton fan, and she's speaking kind of cryptically, saying, listen, I want to be discreet here, but coach is having a problem here. He's weaving here. He's weaving there. Oops, ran into someone. Then one of the calls also showed that he was a little belligerent with the cop, I guess, afterward, Gary, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if the call said that, but one of the print reports said that he was belligerent in his answers. It might have been in the 911 calls, but I read that he was belligerent, but supposedly he fell down before he even got in the car, which is kind of crazy.
Back at Oklahoma State when he was leaving
and
his office.
Who saw him fall down and didn't hop in the car and drive him to the airport?
That's what I was wondering, too, because I think those other coaches had to be behind him. I don't know for 100% sure, pure speculation, but if you see that happen, don't you? I mean,
well, no, you could. I mean, I've fallen down before. Tripped over a rock. I mean, I don't think if If you saw me across the street in the parking lot fall down tripping over a rock, would you say, I'm going to give you a ride home?
No, I'd have thought it was another day. I've seen that 25 times. Since you've been here.
I would have sped up after that Spangles comment, see if I could have clipped you.
But I like the Spangles.
One of the columnists pointed out he can still hang around practice next year. He can still help his son coach a little bit. You know, he can still be around the program, but he's 69 and it's time to give it up. Somebody said that Fog Allen was 65 when he was forced to quit. They had a mandatory retirement law there, and he couldn't coach Wilt, who he recruited.
And who's that's why he wanted
and
to
now,
stay.
Now, 65 apparently is young. You can coach till you're 80, like Paterno. You know, at some point, if your health is failing, you know, and I love Eddie Sutton, everybody does, but if your health is failing and your kid is the coach designate, it's over. Quit. Done. Bye.
You're right.
Kerry Bedore, final take.
The man, the myth, the SmackDown legend right here.
What about when you know a day where all this comes out that this is medical leave, and then you also get all – I mean, you see this so many times in sports where sometimes it's cover-up, sometimes it's the truth, but other stuff comes up. It's tough to decipher through the facts. What do you guys think about when all that stuff comes out on the same day?
What they do is they try to be as general as possible initially, and then they have to – as other stuff gets revealed – they widen it a little or get a little more specific.
Well, and then you say they. Well, it's never the person.
Yeah.
They're always off limits. And then, like last night I hear, and you guys would know this at the press conference, I guess, Coach Sutton said, I'm not going to talk about my dad. I'm only answering questions that pertain to today's
game.
Well,
that's lawyers, I think.
Absolutely.
That's lawyers saying, do not say a word. Eddie, do not make yourself available. Sean, don't address this, no matter how many different ways they ask the questions. Let the lawyers handle it.
And – in those situations, why do they want to handle it like that?
Because there's you don't want them to prove your guilt in any way.
There's information you're trying to do what?
Right, you're trying to cover it up.
You're trying to hide.
I forget the big high-profile case the past year, though, where a family hired a lawyer, and it turned out they didn't. They weren't in any way guilty. You know, so sometimes you do just hire a lawyer. You're scared. But, you know, obviously in this case, too, you don't want Eddie or Sean saying anything that would also give ammunition to this family if they want to sue Eddie.
And I completely understand the situation. If I was ever in a situation like that, I would take the advice of all those people as well. I'm not saying that I'd be any different than anybody else. But in our, you know, experiences seeing these things happen before, your gut instinct inside tells you, as a reporter, there's a little bit more to this story that we don't quite know yet. Now, that could be information that makes it all go away. Or if it's them hiding stuff, it's information that really opens up a new window and gives you more of the real story.
Well, those 911 calls were really...
Change your mind on the thing?
Yeah, well, I can't say it changed my mind. It just confirmed.
Gary, you said it was a four-lane road?
Yeah, I believe first he drove off. He hit the car of the woman, and he drove off and hit a sign on his side of the road. And then he went ahead way far, and then he goes all the way across the other two lanes. So he passed four lanes going the other way, and I guess there were no cars on that other side coming because, like Kevin said, I mean,
and you guys,
thank God nobody
got
hurt.
Did you guys see pictures of his car?
Yeah.
I first heard the report, fender bender in my mind because they said he had a cut over his eye, had some facial lacerations, and the other person basically walked away after a quick treatment. So I thought, fender bender like anybody would have.
Yeah.
And I saw pictures of this car. Unbelievable what happened to it. I mean, it is completely totaled.
The only thing I thought, if it weren't alcohol and the codeine and all that they found, does this guy have a stroke or something? I mean, the way he was driving was unbelievable. What you read on the reports, it's just swerving all over the place.
Yeah. One of the editors here was saying, when I was talking to him, just shooting the breeze, he said that I mentioned the codeine, and he just laughed and said that they say that a lot, you know, when people get DUIs and stuff. So I hope for Eddie's sake it was just the medicine. But, you know, it's probably the saddest story
but unfortunately,
in a long time. But thank God nobody got seriously hurt.
But unfortunately, he has had some problems in the past. So everyone's going to speculate that, you know, that it was alcohol because when he was at Kentucky, you know, he did have some problems.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, when he made those decisions then that he was going to have to deal with for the rest of his life and have to be careful with.
What if this was a real jerk? What would the coverage be like then?
It would be throwing out the window.
It would be completely
over
different, though. It would be different.
Yeah.
I mean, he is getting a
Or what
second,
if he was 20 years younger?
I think it would be different then, too. I think that because of who he is, I mean, he's obviously getting I don't know right or wrongly, but I mean, it's.
He seems to have earned a lot of respect.
If this was Quinn Snyder,
Bob Knight,
how would the coverage be?
Bob Knight, wow. Let's put it this way: Eddie Sutton missed the best performance in quite a while from Sasha Khan. I don't think Eddie's thinking about that right now. But how's that for a transition?
I'm pretty sure that's the first thing he said to Sean when Sean came by the house later that night. How about Sasha Khan?
It's like I told you to key on Sasha Khan, and you didn't listen.
Listen, he still drops it every time you throw it to him, but sometimes he catches his own drops.
He caught that one from Julian. The second one, though, he didn't catch cleanly.
Yeah.
How many no looks can you?
Hey, but I'll tell you, his best play, Chalmers swipes the ball, falls in his hand, the outlet pass. Dunk for Chalmers there. Come on, you got to give him some credit now.
Beautiful. No, Sasha played very well. He fell in his hands and
he threw it over a 5'4" guy.
He's better being the quarterback than the receiver, right?
KU fans will take that anytime they can get it.
It was a beautiful play. You're right. You're exactly right.
Well, how about enough on the Ohio State game? A pretty big payback game maybe for KU on Saturday.
How do you defend Thomas Gardner? I'd say Rush.
Seems like everybody else has been able to do it.
I'd say Brandon Rush. Yeah. Why not?
I don't think this is going to be even nearly.
Yeah, I don't.
I think Gardner was
totally
in his
different.
Zone. I mean, you saw him hitting those shots over people in his face. Look what he's done since then. He even got benched in the second half. I just can't imagine that this game is.
I'm not talking about keeping him under 40. I'm talking about shutting him out to prove a point.
I think you leave him wide open would be the way you guard him lately. You play a zone and it's a. Just a 2-3 where you don't go towards Gardner. Let him shoot the three.
This team has nothing to play for. I think it could get ugly. I think KU, I think the fans, as usual, will be fired up. And after what happened there last time, be even more fired up. And I think Thomas Gardner probably scores 15 to 20 in this game. And I think the rest of his teammates do nothing. I think McKinney maybe scores 10 or 12. And I think KU will roll in this game. If there's one thing Missouri doesn't do, it's play defense. And KU will have no problem scoring on
96 to 67, let's say.
You know, I thought this was going to be a blowout until I just listened to Melvin Watkins on the Big 12 teleconference. And I'd forgotten what an impressive guy he is. He should be a head coach somewhere, probably not a major school.
He had his chance.
He is 1-0 now.
He was great before that. But some guy was asking him a question. He goes, hey, I've coached a few games in my life. And I thought, good for him. I mean, he's not some bozo. And this guy has a whole week to prepare for KU.
At least he didn't say I won a few games
in my
life.
This guy has a whole week to prepare. He's got, some fair talent on that team. It'd be interesting if he could keep it close. Because Melvin Watkins is not just some yo-yo.
But they're not going to keep it close,
are they, Gary?
In fact,
he was one of those hottest young coaches guys when A&M hired him.
I was sorry to see him leave his alma mater at Charlotte.
And that ruined his career, I guess.
So was Quinn Snyder.
But,
what's he doing now?
Again, coaches out there.
I don't think he'll be at the game Saturday.
What are the sound effects for that one?
Don't you agree? Sometimes when coaches move, it ruins their careers. Stay put. He could have been a hero there still. But that reminded me what an impressive guy he is.
Didn't ruin Roy Williams' though.
No, I'd seen
him. He inherited quite a bit of talent there. DJ Wetter.
you gotta preview me now before I come on.
DJ Wetter.
Whoa. There is a little contest between you two. What happened in that?
What's that, Andy Sam?
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Was it a close game or wasn't it? I think there was a money exchanged hands.
Hold on, your mic just died. Let me comment on Missouri. I was at the Missouri game in Columbia, and I don't think there's any way this game stays close because that was their national championship. We joke about it, but it was. You should see the fans, the way that the guys were, the body language on the Missouri players. That's the game they cared about, and that's the one they wanted to win. I don't think this game means anything to them. They have nothing to play for. It was a great story that Melvin Watkins won his first game leading these, the Missouri Tigers in the interim right here, but now there's nothing to play for. KU's
well,
on a roll.
Still
they're
KU
roll
Missouri. They're going to come in at least in the very first 5 minutes or something trying to play.
I don't know. It could get ugly right away. It could be one of those games.
Get ugly early.
Good.
Well, I want to know, and the spot backers want to know what happened between you two.
Neither one were really that. I don't know.
No, I mean, if you want to.
But what was the bet? Was it
that obviously Iowa State gave them a better game than Nebraska did? But
looks like you have a hard time admitting that, Tom.
No, I was on that.
That would make Tom ride. If that
was just a little false humility on my part there. Really, what the Big 12 is right now, though, is two conferences. One is Texas, Kansas and Oklahoma, and then there is the rest.
Well, there's
make
three,
a case
really.
That Colorado's the best, but
then there's the middle pack, and then there's Baylor, Missouri.
Yeah, you're right.
And Ohio State.
But I mean, the gap between the top three and then the middle pack is huge.
Well, the difference this year is in getting to that upper echelon is the teams that can make the run, and Texas knows how to do that. Oklahoma plays ugly enough that when they string a few threes together, that's the end of the game. And, Tom, you said it, this KU team, and you said it in your article today, has learned how to make the run, and that's what I think makes them a better team, and that's what gets them up there into that top three in the league and really gives them a chance to go deep into this tournament. We've joked about the Final Four in the past, but, man, watching how this team has been able to win ugly. They've won when they play very well. They win when they need a spurt late. When they need a three, they get one. They do the little things that, good Lord, even Wayne Simmien and Aaron Miles and Keith Langford and Mike Lee didn't do last year. They do things that make you believe this team, when it comes down the stretch, they're going to make that play. You're not waiting for them to lose. You're waiting for them to win it. And that's why this team is that good in the Big 12 and could go deep into the tournament and be the Syracuse from 2003 that knocked off KU with a young team.
Yeah, but
what
who
you're
are the
saying
team?
Is Kansas is going to win it all. I just said it.
Okay, I said it right here. Kansas is going to win it all. No, I think that if
Homer,
things have things have to line up in the tournament. Well,
it is
very well for them.
DJ, a lot of love for the Jayhawks.
All I'm saying is things have to line up. There are teams like your Villanova Wildcats, Andy, that you've fallen in love with now. If it's not Toss State, it's Villanova.
Don't let them get Sumter back.
You're a bandwagon guy, my friend.
Bandwagon. I'm saying Nova Toss State
for KU. They don't want to play a Villanova team that can probably trap them off some pressure, you know, in the backcourt, things like that, or teams that are going to force them to play their half-court game and slow down the transition. But there are some really good teams that KU matches up pretty well with, and they can make a run.
One of them.
And you, like you said earlier, UConn. I think you're right. They could play a UConn and stay with them.
I don't think Nova is one of them.
I think Nova gives them trouble. I think Memphis gives them trouble.
Teams with speed and teams with great guard play that can kind of hound them out there and force turnovers. That's what will kill KU.
I mean, Nova's just a really scrappy team, the great guard play. I mean, face it, last year they probably should have beat Carolina and went on further.
Well, they should have. There was a traveling call that was a bad call, and they very well could have won that game without that call.
And they
they win that game, maybe they win it all. Nova.
Wichita State. Well, sorry, I don't know where that came
from. Let's see if they win
the
night. If they win the night, they're in the tournament.
If they win tonight, we pencil them in, huh?
Tonight's the tournament title game.
It's their national championship.
The game's in Wichita, right?
Yeah.
I think you're leaping off there.
Has Wichita State won on the road? Speaking of road teams, have they won on the road against anybody decent?
If they beat Creighton and they win the rest of their games and win one or two in the Valley, they're the third team in the Valley.
Why aren't you looking at me when you're answering that question?
Hey, and speaking, you know, back when we started doing this, Keegan, you had mentioned that KU was the third best team in the state.
By all the ratings.
Where are they now?
Right now, they're clearly the best team in the state, although...
They're 0-1 against them.
They're 0-1 against... Yes.
That was my point.
And, Kevin, we got a spot backer mentioned that I think all three of us... I don't know. I don't remember this necessarily. We'll have to play the tape back. That we all said at one point...
Flexity?
The KU ladies... I didn't say Flexity. I wasn't even here. I was at the Pro Bowl. But we all said that the KU women would have more wins than the KU men this year. Did we say that? Because a spot backer emailed and said
that we did.
That we...
I think we said
that we were going the opposite way earlier.
No.
We might have to check the tape on
check
that.
We'd
tape.
Have to check the tape. I never would have said that.
I don't know.
Did you guys really go to the Pro Bowl?
Oh, how
the
times
about that?
No, we were there.
Are you looking at my tan? Does not this tell you the answer?
Why were you at the Pro Bowl?
Because you got to go to Maui, so the company sent us to the Pro Bowl.
Exactly. Only we didn't send any stories back.
Nor did we really get sent by the company.
And we paid for it ourselves.
If I went to the Pro Bowl.
My grandma paid.
I'll tell you one thing I wouldn't do when I was there. Go to the Pro Bowl.
The what?
I
don't remember a football game, if that's what you're
Keegan, don't let these two basty gangsters pull that one on you.
What do you call us?
I don't even know what is Wichinova talking about over there?
Pasty, you guys didn't go to no Pro Bowl.
No, we did not.
I think it's about, actually. After that one, it's about time for our spot back of the
who's
week.
Your Valentine
who's the spot backer of the week? Chop, chop. Let's do this. Read it. English.
Well, I look for the spot back of the week. You guys didn't, you know, because of your Pro Bowl appearance, didn't get on the baseball talk. Today, Chez and Milner,
yes.
Players of the Week in the Big 12. Maybe you guys can shoot that out there real
quick. I just
quick.
Talked to both of them, actually. I went out there to practice today, and those guys are pretty pumped up. And they've got a huge weekend that I didn't realize coming up. You know, 3 years ago, they had that awesome weekend down at LSU where they swept the Tigers. And one of the things that Coach Price had said was, you know, back then we had that great weekend. We get ranked. We're on the map. And then we just kind of lay an egg after that. That was kind of our season, and we got to make sure that 2 out of 3 against Stanford is not the season. Well, going up against USC on Friday night, who has a pitcher that Coach Price compared, he's probably a top 10 draft pick, any he mentioned Pryor from
Mark
the Cubs.
Pryor,
Mark
right.
Pryor is the guy he would compare him to.
Wow.
That guy's pretty good. So that's going to be tough.
On top of that, USC number 25.
Number 25. Then San Diego's number 9 in the land. KU plays them on Saturday. And that team swept Texas, by the way, if anybody had paid any attention. And then a game against Vanderbilt, who's not ranked on Sunday. But Milner was fantastic at 545 in the first 8 games of the season. Has 3 RBIs, 6 or 3 home runs to go with 16 RBIs. And Sanchez, guy's got 3 saves, has given up 0 earned runs so far. And you get it to that 6th, 7th inning, get him in the game, you're winning these games. And KU has done that so far. Did it 2 out of 3 times against
Stanford.
And
he has the best bullpen music, too.
He does have the best bullpen music. He is the man. But and Coach said it, pitching the surprise with this team, that they're doing that well. Ricky Fairchild, a transfer from Tulane. Looks
Sean
like the
Land
real,
has really
like
grown
the real
up.
Deal so far. Sean Land playing very well. And then you have Kodiak. And Kodiak, the one guy that didn't pick up the win in Stanford, probably not his fault. A lot of emotion riding for Stanford. They had not been swept at home, Kevin.
I think I heard somebody say, I think Brandon Holtz told me it was something like 1993 or something crazy. He said Stanford was just not going to lose that third game. You could have gone out and no-hit them, and they'd have still found a way to win that game somehow in some way.
So the Kodiak's difference this
a bear
year,
in big games, though.
He is. The difference this year, but you can win all 3
it's
days,
stuff,
Tom.
Keegan.
thanks, Tom, for participating in the KU baseball talk. You're very flexible, right?
Flexity.
Yeah, somebody called Flexity. You out this week.
Well, you better get your streaming correct there, although I have been known to
the buck right now.
Man. I have
typical
several,
Tom Keegan there, folks.
Several times during my radio career, I had been known to lop off 3, 4, even 5 syllables in the middle of a word.
First of all, you don't know any 5-syllable words, so there's no chance of that.
Well, I don't write any 5-syllable words because you want to include everybody in your audience.
We're supposed to be conversational in our journals.
You're taking it easy on the little man by using your vocabulary that's like the small 10%.
Well, all my books, I tell people you can read them in one sitting because I don't know any polysyllabic words.
Wow.
What?
So you can breeze right through all of them. They're all on Amazon.com, by the way.
Yeah, red eggs and ham with Tom Keegan.
Actually, he's got a couple of good ones out there. We're going to have to talk about that one day on this podcast.
One day, not today, though.
All right, well.
But, yeah, good luck to the baseball team this weekend. Hopefully we'll still be talking this talk about them next week.
They've got a chance, though, to win every day because of their pitching, and their hitting has always been good. So that's the exciting thing. If you're a Jayhawk fan, they can pitch this year. Do
spot
it, Andy.
Spot backer of the week. Let's do this
right now. We need some more participation. We didn't have a whole lot of spot backers out there.
Well,
maybe,
that's because
probably because they were getting the flowers for the ladies
and
all that.
Kevin
this
and
week.
DJ
guys
weren't here.
Out. Come on, let's be true. Honest.
Thanks for calling us
Real
on a Sunday afternoon.
Unbelievable. Wichinova, get out of here.
Well, speaking that it is Valentine's Day, and I got a love for the Ta. I'm gonna read the spot back.
I think he bought
day.
Roses for the Ta.
Is this from a Wichita?
Them to Wichita.
Yeah. Black roses.
Black roses, a dozen. Make that 2 dozen.
Same one you've used the last 2 years.
You know it. Taw City Hawk fan is this week's spot backer of the week.
Unbelievable.
And he is the guy who called Keegan out.
Complete nepotism here.
He called the guy out. Or he
That's a big word.
Yeah. Keep going.
He called Tommy out on Flex City.
He's from Wah?
He's from the Taw.
Yeah, Wichita. I missed a couple syllables in the middle of that.
Well, I'm looking for Taw State to string together 2 weeks without a loss and possibly get in the rankings by the end of February. KU and WSU both in the rankings. That would be great. And that would be great.
Has Tom Keegan voted that yet? And what would it take for you to vote that way since you are a voter?
It would take them, you know, winning some games on the road here, Andy. They haven't really done that.
I agree.
You got to show you can do it on the road the way KU shows you can do it on
but
the road.
But right now they're tied for first in the Valley, and if they
– Is it a four-way tie
yeah,
still?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's
four-way
it's convenient
tie.
How he left
and
that
what, Missouri State's what, two
But
bad?
They're also the four Beat teams Northern that are, Iowa. According to Joe Lunardi, are all in the tournament still.
Well, that could happen. It definitely could happen. You could see the Missouri Valley get 4 and the Big 12 get 3. Right now I have Texas, I think, 5th or 6th in my – I think 5th. And I have Kansas 18, Oklahoma 19. But – You wouldn't even think about voting another Big 12.
Carolina 23 for the haters out there.
And I think Wichita State
got
41 votes in the AP, and they shouldn't be ranked yet. But if they can win a few games to close out the season, and probably if KU and Wichita State were to ever play, this is about the only way they're going to do it.
That would be awesome.
Wow.
If they played in the tournament, that would really be cool.
Yeah, you don't want it to be early, though. You want it to be late, don't you?
Why?
Because you don't want if you're a KU fan, you're obviously rooting for Wichita State, right?
Agreed.
Well, you don't want to play them in the second round and knock them out early.
Do
you
KU
want Wichita
fans
State.
All root for Wichita State?
I think
State?
Most would. Who's the coach?
Turgeon, that's true.
What, I mean,
I don't know. I think Gary would disagree with you.
On what? KU fans rooting for Wichita State?
Oh,
why would key to good radio is to be a good
listener. No, I think both.
yeah. Snap out of it over there. What are you doing?
KU fans, I think they'd why be kind of neutral, but Wichita State fans hate KU generally.
So Wichita State plays Bucknell in the first round. Who are you rooting for?
Well, you know who I'm rooting for.
I mean, you're rooting for Wichita State. I went to KU. I have no reason to dislike the Tall. The name
of that is so patronizing.
What?
If they could meet in the first round, here's how. Let's say KU is a 5 seed and they're a 12, a 4 and a 13. I think Wichita State.
Don't go 4 13.
6 11. 6 11 might be more accurate.
11?
Wichita State, 11.
KU 6? How is KU going to be 6? They'd have to lose to someone we don't anticipate them losing to.
Big 12's down.
Don't forget, no respect. KU fans love Turge. That's why they will never hate Wichita State. Is Mark Turgeon. Is that what Kevin said?
What'd I just say? What's going on over here? Hello, uh-oh. Somebody listening to me.
I had an Eddie moment. I blacked out.
Sing on.
Sorry, low blow.
Good news was.
I love Eddie Sutton.
The only thing you were driving was a radio show.
But
podcast, I'm sorry.
Turgeon's great.
Turgeon's being driven right to the ground right now.
Turgeon's one of the best young coaches in the country. You don't want to play him in the
point
tournament.
Being, who's got? I mean, Kansas fans in the state have, I think, done a pretty good job of rooting for the other teams in the state. I think it's
except
a stretch.
K-State.
Except for K-State.
But if K-State got in, though. I bet Kansas fans would cheer for
here's
K-State
the deal, though.
Over
it's easier for
NC
KU
State.
Fans to root for the other teams in Kansas because KU's already always been the best basketball
yeah. I mean,
team in the state.
So
it's
Wichita
fun to root
State.
For all the underdogs when you know you could beat them. Let's
agreed.
Be honest. Let's agreed. Be honest. I root for Tough State
and
I think KU could beat him at 9 out of 10 times.
And a KU guy's the leader of that program.
That's true.
I mean, I think that's simple. Simple math, Andy Sam.
Hey, I root for myself every day because I'm the biggest underdog.
Andy, that being said, do you have your lesson of the week for the lifers out there, I believe, as you say? Maybe a Valentine's Day
lesson?
For
the youngsters out there.
For the young lifers out there.
For all you youngsters out there, if you have a lady in your life, do something nice for her. Buy her flowers, maybe a pedicure.
Maybe Andy Sam.
My lesson of the week would be this. You know, if you're just kind of casually seeing her, drop her a couple weeks before Valentine's Day and then try to pick her back up 2 weeks afterwards. That way you can save a little cash. Maybe
and
get
follow
some
that same advice
maybe get
after
some
every holiday.
Do something for yourself.
Dozen,
because really, Valentine's Day overrated.
Dozen, they sell like only a couple things in dozens. Flowers, eggs, and beers. And Andy Sam, 1 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's true. All right, well, this is KUSports.com's Spodcasters. That's where you can get it. I just wanted to clarify for all the Wichita State people out there. This is not
you are smooth, man.
I know. This is not Wichita State.
Like glass.
It's tough to. It's just
wow.
Hard to follow you up.
All right, we're gonna end it right
Wichita
now.
Wichinova.
It's Tom Keegan, Kevin Romery.
Smooth.
The guy in the corner. Who's that?
That is the one, the only, the great, the ultimate authority on KU hoops. The one and only Gary Bedore.
Best listener in the room.
Behind the door, Bedore.
And my boy DJ Wetter.
Thanks,
how's
Andy.
The Pro Bowl? I was just kidding. He looks like he got a little tan there.
I'm always tan.
And I'm Andy Sam from KUSports.com, not WichitaStateSports.com. So I'll try to keep that down in the future. But, you know, it's Valentine's Day. I got to get some love out there. And we'll see you next time.
Like what you just heard? Then spread the word about the Spodcasters. It's sportscasting meets podcasting on your computer. No iPod, no problem. You can still get the Spodcasters online. Just point your mouse to KUSports.com, click on the Spodcasters logo in the right column, then kick back and listen. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.